रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. Ayodhikan, chapter number 87, the continuation of Guha's narrative. The recitation begins now. The moving account overcame Bharata quiet, and he sank where he sat in a fit of hopeless despondency. Brought up in the utmost luxury and comfort, endowed by nature with measureless strength, with mighty chest and shoulders like those of the monarch of the forests, with long and powerful arms that reach below his knees, with large and lustrous eyes like the petals of a fresh-blown lotus, in the prime of youth and health, adorned with every grace of form and feature, he was the very last man one would associate with such fate. He consoled himself somewhat, but the memory of Rama and his pitiable plight came back to him stronger than ever, and he fell down even as a lordly elephant pierced to the heart by the sharp goad. Shatrughna sprang forward, raised him up tenderly, and sobbed aloud, unable to bear the heartrending sight. The cry drew to the spot the royal ladies, who beheld Bharata, lean and emaciated with fasting and distress, lying on the ground with his brother tending him affectionately. What could they do but gather round him and raise their voices in deep lamentation? Kaushalya, bereft of her husband and her only son, ran towards him with outwelling tenderness, even as a cow rushes towards its favorite calf, clasped Bharata to her breast, while the floodgates of her heavy sorrow burst uncontrolled, and cried, "My poor child, I see your body consumed with the fierce flames of grief consequent on being separated from Rama. Verily, Rama would ill deserve his name if the sight of your suffering moves him not to return to Ayodhya at once. But should he ever hear that you have quit your hold on life, little chance have we of seeing him again. I look upon your face and keep my life within me after my Rama had exiled himself to the woods and Lakshmana with him. Maybe you have heard some untoward news of Lakshmana, or am I destined to be tortured yet further with dreadful news of some dire misfortune that has befallen my only son Rama, who abandoned me feeble and helpless and betook himself to the forests with his wife?" It was now Bharata's turn to comfort the queen. He turned to Guha and cried through his blinding tears, "My brother, where slept he that night? Where reclined Sita? Where did Lakshmana make his bed? What rough makeshifts served them for a couch? What stayed their hunger?" Guha was glad to be given a chance to speak of his idol Rama. He proceeded to describe how Rama came to where he was and received the warmest of welcomes. Dainty food prepared variously, cakes, sweetmeats, fruits and roots were got ready for him, but he would have none of them. "Nay," said he, "I come from the race of Kshatriyas who give but never take. Your kindness and solicitude has pleased me more than I can ever express. You will oblige me by taking these away." He drank the pure water of River Ganga that Lakshmana fetched for him and went through his evening orisons in silence. The noble couple took their seats on a bed of sacred kusha grass that the faithful son of Sumitra had spread for them, who then washed their feet and retired. "Here, under this Ingudi tree slept they, and here are the remains of their lowly bed of grass." Lakshmana kept armed watch the livelong night, going his rounds as regularly and fearlessly as the most seasoned soldier on duty. But my love of Rama made me suspect the movements of the devoted prince, for one of his brothers, as I said to myself, drove him to the wild woods, and another that followed him, who can say what he might do to Rama as he lay sleeping the sleep of peace and exhaustion? So my kinsman and I, armed to the teeth, followed Lakshmana wherever he went, apparently to keep the wild beasts away from the sleeping pair. But we did him the cruelest injustice to doubt his loyalty, and might have spared ourselves the trouble of watching. Why, who is there in all the worlds that dare raise his eyes to Rama in treachery or evil, mighty and puissant as the ruler of the immortals? मंगलम कुशलेन्द्राय महनीय गुणाब्दे चक्रवर्ती धन उर्जाय सर्व भौमाय मंगलम।